Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Today, we are going to be talking on VFN Radio about, obviously, a little bit about the shutdown, the lockdown for Washington, D.C. This is the third day now of the government shutdown, which really, I want to explain that a little bit because we need to understand it's not what media is presenting it out to be. It's what the founding fathers established for you to be able to have a government and have a country, not a government, but have a country. We're also going to continue the conversation about, you know, Organizer's Handbook, written by a book dedicated to Lucifer by Saul Alinsky. We're going to continue the conversation. And yeah, I want to get through with the conversation too, but we want to get this down. Right now, if it's not meaning as much to you right now, it's because you're walking around the darkness. But if you're looking around what's going on and seeing this, we're being organized right here. And what are we being organized for, good or bad? Then it causes us to wake up. I mean, think about it. Remember how the Jews were being organized by a community organizer called, name starts with an H. Hitler! Hitler! That's right! A community organizer. He organized a nation against God's people to the point where they became, which is the last 13th tactic taught by the Organizer's Handbook, written by Saul Alinsky, taught by President Barack Obama for 4 years under the payroll, reportedly, of Saul Alinsky, while Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis in her graduation because she was mentored by him, Saul. So we have the thesis was so intense, and you can hear about this and go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and read about it yourself. But it was so revealing that they, you know, when you're used to be, you know, I don't think they sell records anymore. God just lets them all come out. Yeah. But the fact is that if you did a crime as you were a juvenile in America, they would seal your records. They would seal your records, and then they would just, like, it didn't happen. You know, and you file a petition. I would like to have this sealed. Well, that's because of the immaturity or whatever reason they got. I think they need to back up to like 9 now. I mean, like, anything above 9 needs to be out there because we have murderers, mass murderers, and all. Right. We don't need to seal no records. We need to know who is in my classroom that's got some guns and stuff. And so, in that, her husband, President Bill Clinton, well, Governor Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas, becomes president, and they seal. Listen, I mean, my papers in college were so bad. Even some of my police reports that I took and wrote in the dark, and had like 4 carbon copies, and you get writer's cramp after a while. The perpetrator went to the northeast quadrant of the back left segway of the whatever, and I finally read this book that said, just write it so juries can understand it. The bad guy was coming through the back. And he looked around and he saw gross darkness. And he found some matches and burned his finger and threw matches down. I really wrote something close to that. And the jury's like leaning in. It's like they get a conviction when they can understand it.
All right.
Anyway, so in the context of that, they sealed her paper. They sealed, you know, thesis is what your theme of your paper is going to be. What are you going to write on? You remember getting those assignments in school, you know, in college. And they go, okay, listen, you're going to have a big paper due. That's going to be your finally climactical moment for the university. I guess, Steve, you remember all those papers and stuff, right? Yeah, and it's like, oh, my goodness. And they say, here's your topic. My choice, my choice, my choice, my choice, right? They get their own choices, and then they let you give your choice. And she chose a topic. She chose a topic. This is the secretary, former secretary of state, the most traveled secretary of state. She's an organizer. She's an organizer. She is, and he is, Alinsky's children. Alinsky's children. I mean, I'm learning this. I did not come into this, and I don't come into anything. I mean, I got a blank slate. Do I not have a blank slate?
Very blank.
Blank slate. I'm like blank.
Blank all
blank,
the time.
Blank. Right? So what was I saying?
Where are my keys?
But I abide. And I just let God tell me and reveal things to me. And I don't put my spin on or anything like that. It's like, I'm like, no, right?
Yeah.
And so we first discovered the book, and about Rules for Radicals, but I was reading the digital version of it. And so then the book came in, which was shoved in the thing with a 300-pound tube of packing paper. I'm like, y'all are probably thinking I'm reading this because I want to organize or something.
All right.
And the front of the book's dedicated to Lucifer right here in the front cover, but the back of it was dedicated to Alinsky's children. You think Alinsky's children? Is Alinsky the father of President Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton? No, I'm talking about Revelation chapter 20. This is what Jesus, this is what the Son of God said. He says, whosoever teachings you follow, that's your daddy.
That's your daddy.
That's your daddy.
Right.
That's why if you're connected apostolically, you're connected to a pastor, make sure that they're actually teaching you Jesus' teachings so you know that you're following Jesus, not that man or that woman. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they in the name of God, they followed Alinsky's. And so now they studied Alinsky, and so she wrote a paper, and you can read, you got to get this on Yesterday's Torch. And listen, we painstakingly put this out there to you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And this is what he says. He goes on to say this right here, and I don't see. Can you pull up the torch right there so I can actually see the torch? He says, the first part of it is God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But there's another part of that that you have to understand that it goes on beside that. Most people don't even think about it. Here it is. Oh my goodness! Here it goes. Alinsky's children. It's called Alinsky's children. Hillary, Obama, and blank, because there's a lot of them, and you might be one. But what's so cool about what you learned about yesterday's program is God gives us time to repent when we realize, wait a minute, they were deceiving me. They were causing me to think that they were actually being led by God. You know, those that call themselves a prophet is someone who says, I hear from God. I'm telling you what God says.
Right.
And so it's easy to be deceived if you're not abiding. But if you're abiding, something in your spirit just goes, this is not right. Right. Oh, this is so not right. Like the Birmingham meeting.
Right? Oh my God.
This is not right. And so you'll see a picture of Saul Alinsky there. And you see a picture also of the president teaching the tactics. He taught him for 4 years right there. And but this is what Hosea chapter 4, and I want to be ultimately respectful to our president, and Pat can attest to this, that we need to honor the authority in our life. God didn't say honor your parents if they're perfect, he didn't say honor authority if they're right. I mean, even Paul, when he was standing arrested for wrong reasons, for wrong reasons, because he loved God, that before King Festus, and he's all cuffed up and everything, you know, chained up, He's honoring King Festus. He's going, listen, I just want to tell you. And he began to list the good things that he had done. But then he began, and he wasn't concerned about his politics. He was just saying, but I want to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel about, because when you read Revelation chapter 2 about the church at Thyatira, that, you know, these folks who don't repent, you know, you're going to be on a bed of suffering. But you can repent. All of us have the same choice. It's the same God, same Lord, same word. Same forgiveness, and so we have to have compassion on folks.
Yeah,
and maybe in a former community organizer, you know, with it went into our church just like it happened with Hillary. That's what happened to her. She was at a church, and Alinsky's organization went into the church, the youth part of the church, and began to, you know, stirred her up about regards to this is a good way to make positive change and all. And there was a lot of wrong things going on at that time. You have to understand. It's just amazing how many people don't even want to have the conversation unless it comes in like sound bites.
Right.
But what happened, my personal opinion is, when you watch the interviews, and we'll make these interviews available to you on the VFN Torch eventually, where they actually did a whole segment on Saul Alinsky when he was walking and talking before he had died.
Mm-hmm.
And in the church was silent. Not only were they silent, not the whole church, but the church that could have done something about it, when... racism and injustices were taking place, and the church struggled with their own sin, because the church could have led that. The church could have said, and they did. I mean, a lot of the people who were in the church, I mean, everything was led by those who actually followed God, but I'm talking about believers and Christians and organized fellowships and all.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the in-your-face type gatherings that was taking place at that time. I mean, they were openly against equal civil rights for everyone. So you're actually in bondage, you're in darkness, and you are trying to oppress somebody. I mean, that's not good, because this is what I think you're going to be really surprised how things turned out, because he says, if you don't love your brother, who you can see, you cannot love God.
That's right.
that you don't. You said you didn't. You just can't. Mm-mm. You know, and how in the world? The enemy's got you. The enemy's got you. You're walking around darkness and you're stumbling. If you hate anybody based on their epidermis, on their skin color, and you judge them based on their skin color, white, red, yellow, black, whatever the skin color it would be, brown, that is so ignorant. But there's a lot of ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of ignorance because, you know, it's just, I just can't go there right now in the context of that. But you understand, so the church was in sin. And it was either two sins. The sin of in the rebellion, in the coming against. You know, we're talking about how did these rules for radicals come out? It came out, but it was written in 1971. How did this guy come into a church where Hillary Clinton was a young girl in this church, a young lady in this church, and all of a sudden he just started telling her, and that's what happened to me. What happened to me was one of these organizers from Pacific Institute Community Organizing came in. They sold my pastor at the time on this whole concept, and it's a good thing. But when you look at what the motives behind it, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's totally out. They're using the church,
right?
And so finally, Alinsky arises. Darkness arises and fills the void that the church refuses to repent. Don't think God's going to fix injustice, even if he has to use Nebuchadnezzar, Zedekiah, and Jehoiakim.
Right.
So don't think that he's not going to fix it. And if his people are in bondage and in darkness, he'll just raise up somebody who's serving the devil, mm-hmm. and he'll use them to knock things into alignment. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so, which means two things. God is just, and he's the one that justifies, and the only hope is the cross of Christ and humility. The second thing is, if you don't make it right, if you don't humble yourself and repent as the church and acknowledge the sins of our fathers and the sins, our sins, don't worry about it. God's going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to fix it. And this is what this minister is being interviewed, this Christian minister, is being interviewed on television during this broadcast that we're going to show. And he's talking about, because Saul Alinsky just accomplished this, we'll go into more detail, but Kodak was being racist in their practices, the Kodak company, and that's mm-hmm. where things that happened in Chicago, and that's where Alinsky began to organize some things there. And justice came through that. You cannot say justice didn't come through that. It came through that. But the whole thing is, did we, you know, was it Nebuchadnezzar doing it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar after he finished, you know, with his long nails, hair, crawling through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you, Neb.
No.
And so, but then they interviewed the pastor, and this is what I'm talking about. They interviewed him, one of the pastors, and he's going, you know, this is good where we've come to, and this is the generation living through this. And he said, this is good where we've come to, but I have some people in my congregation who really have issues with it, so I'm going to have to work through it. And it's like, what have you been preaching behind your podium that tells somebody that they can hate their brother based on the color of their skin? You know what I'm saying? Why does your folks that you're speaking to be okay with being racist? And period. I mean, why are they struggling? Why all of a sudden, because Nebuchadnezzar came in and forced something that the church wouldn't do voluntarily, you know, and now you're saying you have issues with it. What have you been preaching? Some of your congregation, what have you been preaching?
Right.
Well, they would have left. Well, the racist person who doesn't know God, who's not going to even go into heaven because he hates his brother, is not going to make, he don't even know God.
Mm-mm.
He don't even know God. If you hate your brother, you hate God.
That's right.
That's it. So you should tell them at least the racist walks away knowing that I'm going to bust hell wide open unless I repent. But you confuse them by saying, well, you're in a transitional time in American history, the thing that's been around for about 5 minutes. And you know, I understand. What do you understand? He could die tomorrow and bust hell wide open. So I just want to encourage you and understand, you know, that you can empathize and understand what was going on, because God raised up his servant Nebuchadnezzar to bring about his will because his people were in a time of darkness and rebellion. We want to rise up and be the light that God's called us to be. And we'll be talking more about it. But we're talking about Saul Alinsky. We're going to continue that conversation in a moment into first and extra hour today. We want to give you some context of that, not to all of a sudden just say, hey, what's wrong with Saul Alinsky? Maybe he was God's servant to raise up like Nebuchadnezzar to be able to do something, and now people are continuing to use Nebi's practices.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Writing thesis on it, becoming his child. They're like, no. We just got to repent and get back to God. Not only is government on a shutdown this week, it's on a lockdown. Mm-hmm. And these are signs. If you haven't been listening to VFN Radio long, you need to go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, the burning torch that you can see there. Remember, he said, my word is a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path, let you know where you are and mm-hmm. where you're going. And so God speaks. God does nothing, is what he says, unless he reveals it to his people first. And so those who happen to hear it are responsible now to repeat it and let you know. They're called watchmen on the wall. What they're prophesying is what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that are prophesying things that they're having from their own heart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, don't throw away what God is saying. Just filter that out and find out what lines up with God's word. But he specifically shown us that we are on the edge. The country's on the edge, just like his name is on the edge of a coin. And God we trust is on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world's being organized right now, not just America. Remember, only 5% of it. We are the anomaly, one nation under God.
Right.
Anomaly that's out there in regards to how we formed and what we've done, and one of the most prosperous nations, and the city on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that's what he said, to be a light. And that's what we were. I mean, I'm looking right now at the very first, I have it right here, and I'll talk more about it. The very first book ever printed in America. It was printed in, I think, 1775 or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That. Something like that. In regards to school book.
Yeah.
And the very first thing in this book out there is, it's dedicated to the Honorable John Hancock, President of American Congress. So immediately they're educating you on the founding father and the one who's the president of Congress. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
And then the next page is a praise to God by Reverend Dr. Watts. A divine song of praise, a divine song of praise to God for a child by Reverend Dr. Watts. How gracious is our heavenly King who reigns above the sky. How shall a child, that's a different kind of writing of a word. How shall a child sing? How great is his power and his name, nor the things larger than his grace. Nor men above, nor saints that dwell, oh, high before his face. And it just goes on and on and on. And it's very small lettering. But right. the first very book was written in 1777. It's in Boston. And it's called The New English Primer. And it has the alphabet in there and the lettering and the... it's a school
book.
Yeah, it's a school book.
Wow.
I'm talking about a school book.
That's cool.
And has all your how to speak and words and... dictionary for words and learning. Yeah. But it starts with a praise for God.
Wow.
And this country is one nation under God from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. 1777, which we signed the Declaration of Independence. I'm talking in regards to America now.
Yeah.
Not book in regards to the being on the land here.
Mm-hmm.
Not when we were New England. But in 1776, we signed the Declaration of Independence. 1777... the book was written under the new formed government. And that's what I want to mention about when we're looking at government shutdown right now. And when darkness, remember this, if darkness covers the earth, and we're going to get to the next tactic of darkness, but we want, and it probably it's obviously going to be in the extra hour, but you need to hear, get context. We want light right now. What's going on right now on the lockdown? What's happening with the shutdown of the government and the lockdown of the government? Because remember, darkness covers the earth. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness covers the folks. So when you pull back out of darkness, when you pull back out of the, if you're the light, and one good example of that is there was a deputy that that was at the sheriff's department that I used to work at, and he was he's a Christian.
Right.
And there was a sheriff there that had great favor on the Lord in regards to just giving was good to be able to talk about the Lord there. Mm-hmm. And so he gave a training room to this deputy and let him have a Bible study once. And he could say anything about God he wanted to. He could bring all the light he wanted to into that training room,
mm-hmm.
which was training room one back then and right by the ranch for, and it was just like the throughway for everything happening there.
Is that why you were there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'd already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling him, I said, this is very, very good. Because he came and served on our steering committees and stuff that we did for the Malachi mandate. And I'm going, man, this is great. This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And because now light had come into that place and it was going to begin to help people, encourage them. How important is it for those who actually work every day in law enforcement? They're walking in the darkness for us. They're almost like the filter system, like your internet filter system that keeps all this stuff away from your homes and your houses. They're having to confront that and face that. How much more important is for them to walk around the light?
Yeah.
And so he's here ministering once a week, and I'm thinking, this is so great. And the enemy just starts beating on him, you know, in regards to how the enemy attacks us all.
Yeah.
And it makes him feel kind of down about it. And eventually he just started not meeting every week. And then eventually he didn't have it anymore. And so I'm talking to him. He's like, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm like, oh my goodness, you gave up that. It was light.
Mm.
And so when you pull back, but since darkness covers the earth, Isaiah chapter 60, thick darkness covers the people, and you are the light that was shining there. Do you really think it's not going to be filled with darkness? The darkness is the absence of light. When you left that place, mm-hmm. when you leave that place, it's like when I think about, you know, Brett up in Frontier Airlines. Mm-hmm. It was founded on from people based on what he reports that loved God, and they had a prayer meeting, and God blessed them with the concept of birthing Frontier Airlines in Denver, Colorado. And as soon as Brett found this out, he says, you know, we need to come back to our roots. And he began to bring everybody back to the original tent. So now they brought the light into Frontier Airlines, where employees are meeting on a regular basis and they're seeking the light and abiding in the light and mm-hmm. just, you know, and the light's there.
Right.
It's important. Don't underestimate. The enemy will lie to you and say, you're insignificant. What you're doing is nothing. Listen, if you're just there loving God, you're the light.
That's right.
And he knows you're there because darkness got pushed back because you were present. And he wants you to leave, because if you leave, what's going to happen? Darkness is going to fill in. And I'm going to get to this in the beginning of the extra hour, because I want to talk about, you know, why is there so much darkness going on in Washington, D.C.? What's happening there? And it's because if darkness is filling this void, it means the light is absent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about religion. Normally when the light moves, it gets replaced by religion. Mm-hmm. Jezebel had religion. You know what I'm saying? She was very religious. I mean, she had her own Asherah poles, her own prophets, her own everything. They just weren't, none of it was not God.
Mm-mm.
So just, you know, I'm not saying that religion leaves. As a matter of fact, religion just cranks up a notch. You know, radical Islam, Hinduism, Mormonism, all these things just start cranking up a notch, mm-hmm. you know, in regards to that. But in regards to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as being the only God, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that it's through him that we get saved in the shedding of his blood,
mm-hmm.
and he's the only Son of God, that in regards to that, that we pull back, and so what you're looking at is an absence of light in there. And imagine this, and I know we're about to, when you and I went to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch, with, I don't know, was there like, was there like one, how many, 40 people, 50 people? How many people was there?
About a million.
Oh, it was a million people. A million. Yeah. Not only that, a million men.
Yeah.
You know, and we went there for to stand in the gap, because as we said, you look for somebody to stand in the gap. And a million of us in the Promise Keepers movement that was taking place just came from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we laid on our, imagine the light that was beaming in that place of darkness and how much light was brought there.
Yeah.
And think about it. One of Alinsky's children, instead of coming down and getting on his face in the light, he got in a helicopter and he flew around the light and then he flew off. That's what happened with President Bill Clinton when we were there.
You realize that was 16 years ago today?
No.
Today.
Wow. Now imagine, now if we go there not to protest the government and all this crazy stuff that people are doing in regards to calling themselves, you know, Christians, that's not what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to go be light.
Yeah.
Because God will change men's heart. God directs the king's heart like a water course. If
That's right.
we just humble ourselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways, not to manipulate behavior, to repent for our own behavior, God will save this nation. A third great awakening is what we're believing for. We're going to talk about the lockdown. The lockdown and the shutdown. These are signs. I mean, you think about it. These are signs about what's taking place in the world. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said to those around him. He says, even the farmer knows when to plant. Even the farmer knows when to plant. Yeah, he knows when the signs are happening in the heavens. He knows what's going on. But think about this. He says, but you don't even know the signs. Well, these are signs. When your government shuts down, when it's on lockdown because of one particular lady that's driven by darkness, just one lady driven by darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it. Those who are in more control of the darkness and they're trying to strategize and organize, she just got a whiff of it. And whatever darkness just came and pushed her, all of a sudden she starts doing what's on the hearts of a lot of people that's moving in darkness wants to do to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we're just, our empathy goes out for the officer that was, the Capitol officer that was in pursuit of her, and these posts come out of the ground. They come out of the ground to protect their barriers, but they just like, big poles come out, and it came right up under his car when he was going at a high rate of speed and just ripped it to pieces. And hopefully be able to see that on the VFN torch what happened there. But just he's in the hospital being treated. Last I heard, I don't know if he's been released yet. Remember him? I mean, think about it. The last thing that I'd want to do be doing right now is to be a Capitol Police officer or in the Secret Service. Pray for our Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for our Capitol Police. Realize these guys and these men and women, they're the ones that stand there in the context of protecting the whole idea of America's government, and that we don't want anything to happen to anyone, anything in Washington, D.C. We want to be able just to repent and move on and get things back in order again. And with that, so it's on shutdown, on shutdown because of Congress. You're hearing all, I mean, pretty much if you haven't been listening to VFN radio and you haven't been watching, I don't know, Fox News, if you've been listening to the other 99 potential broadcasts that are out there, they're telling you, they're blaming it on one piece of Washington, D.C. They're blaming it on Congress. And since, you know, Christians don't read their Bible, only 3% read their Bible, and most don't even know our Constitution,
mm-hmm.
we don't even know what they're talking about. We're just listening to the bully going, he did it. He did it. And it's like, we got to get some light on this. Realize our founding fathers, the very first educational book written in 1777 at the Declaration of Independence was a book that glorified God. I mean, it's a school book, the ABCs, the alphabets, dictionary, reading book. I'm looking at it right here. Aren't we looking at it? This
yeah.
is it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a nation that was founded on God, one nation under God. And the reason why they found this out was they found the Word of God and the God of the Word. It was broke loose from religious captivity. And if you have not yet heard, you need to go back and listen to, you go to VFN Torch or on your app, America, how we got here and how do we stay here? And in that, you'll find out there's a reason, the only reason America's concept and idea can exist is because of God. That's why the enemy's working so hard to push God out of everything. Because if we have God, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But if we don't have God, we go right back into the tyranny that we signed a Declaration of Independence to be away from,
mm-hmm.
which was religious bondage, darkness, and captivity. And that's what happens. He just said that's what happens in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if we don't choose to understand what we're talking about. And so when I'm reading the Constitution here, I'm going to read you just a little bit of the Constitution to understand what's taking place with the government shutdown, that they're blaming Congress, mean Congress. I'm just going to go around Congress. You know, them Congress folks, them Congress, those Congress, I mean, it's like, and all of a sudden there's just like, it makes me think of the very last tactic of Alinsky. The very last task of Alinsky, and I don't have that book, my notes in front of me, is, let me find it here, because you got to hear it. This is exactly what's going on, is tactic number 13, and we're not going to talk about it, but just you'll get an understanding of what's going on right here, because it's one of Alinsky's children. Pick the target, freeze it, polarize it, and personalize it. Pick the target. This is tactic number 3 from Alinsky,
mm-hmm.
and all of Alinsky's children who follow his teachings, which is dedicated to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the target, freeze the target, personalize the target, and polarize it. What's the target? Congress. Mm. And they're actually making Congress, which is your representative, who actually you're probably the only one you know in D.C. that is really close enough to you, because the Congress represents the people in your state. And this, and then you have Congress made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so even outside the Senate, if you pushed away the executive branch and you pushed away the Senate and all you had was the House of Representatives, that is a greater representation of who we are, because there's more of them coming from your state than anybody else. And they represent different portions of your states where all your people in your state are represented. So they actually have a clearer voice about what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called representative government. And it's based on population. So if you have 50 people in your state, you have less representatives in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. But if you have, 11 million people in your state, you have more representatives. Mm-hmm. You have so many per, I believe 6,000 or something people in your state.
Right.
And so for somebody to say they're going to go around Congress, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Americans are destroyed for lack of knowledge as well. They're going around you, brother. They're going around you. Mm-hmm. They're actually saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, I don't want to listen to the American people. I don't want to hear your representatives. But if you see the House, if you see Congress, if you see the House of Representatives, because understand, in Senate, you have two men, two women, or variants thereof, two people from your state. Mm. That's it. And so you know how many opinions are in your state? Come on. It's got to be more than two opinions.
Yeah.
And so they do their best to figure out what they're going to, what their agenda is. So that's not good representative government. But it is if it first goes to Congress, the House of Representatives first, because they actually represent you. You can talk to your congressman, and you can say, have town hall meetings, and you can let them know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And I'm talking about the original tent here, and to understand why that there's a shutdown here. And then the Congress, then the House of Representatives, then makes a bill, and they pass it over to the Senate. Now, you only have two people from your state at that point. But it's okay, because maybe 50 people from your state just gave a review of it, and they did all the committees, and they studied it, and they talked to you, they listened to your feedback. And now when they turned it over to Senate, those two people need to listen up, because mm-hmm. the greatest majority of you and your representatives just spoke. And they should just pretty much, I wouldn't say rubber stamp it, because they have to balance the national concepts of what's going on, but also, hello, not ignore you mm-hmm. and not act like you don't exist and only pay attention to the swing state type thing, because they're your representatives. And then you have the executive branch, which is one person. So you have the House of Representatives, which is a whole bunch of people, you know, one for every, I might have it right here in front of me if I just give you the number. But one for ever, maybe 6,000 folks in your state. And I'll have to give you the numbers exactly. You can find out more in the original tent. We've already talked about it already. And then, so it kind of works its way down to one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work its way from one to many. It works its way from many to one. This is the original tent. Things should start in the House of Representatives. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have 100 representatives from your state there. And that means, imagine your state being broken up to 100 different districts. And so you have 100 different town hall meetings, and y'all talk to him or her. You go, hey, this is crazy, or this is good. I think we should have healthcare. I think we shouldn't have healthcare. I think we're broke. I think we need to pay our bills. I think we need to have a better relationship with Israel. You know, and you begin to tell them your ideas and your concept, and so they go represent you. They're not supposed to go be mini kings or MINI queens. They're supposed to be representatives of you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear a congresswoman or congressman say, hey, I'm just representing the people in my district, if they're actually doing that, that's exactly what they're doing. That's what they're supposed to do. It's representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see where the House of Representatives has a better understanding of what's going on and a better feel for you. A better feel if you're actually emailing them, texting them, communicating them, posting on their Facebooks, and just sharing with your thoughts. You have a right to share your thoughts and petition your government.
Yeah, it's actually 674,000 residents.
For one representative, mm-hmm. one congressman for one representative for every 600,000.
Right. You're creating one congressional district.
I can barely hear your mic. I think it's
creating one congressional district for each 674,000 residents.
Wow.
Approximately.
Wow. Well, so I know that So then, not to pay attention to that one congressman is not to pay attention to 600,000 of you in your state.
Right.
Think about that. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And so, but not to pay attention. And then they represent you. They go back and they decide based on what you said, and they put all the opinions, the micro opinions of the state, the country together in one big house of representing you, one big house of representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, present what they're going to do, a bill, and they turn it over to the Senate. They turn it over to the Senate. And in that, now the Senate has two men, two people, two women, two human beings representing your entire state. That is not a good representative of everybody.
Right.
But they're important because now they're looking at the context of the nation. Mm-hmm. And they're making sure that you are represented in the context of how the nation works. And so they should lean towards, strongly towards, since they're senators from your state, your desires. 50 states, 2 senators, 100 senators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's only 100 of them guys and ladies, men and ladies.
Right.
And so out of 530, for example, say there's 530, and there's only 100 senators, that would be, what, 429, 430 Congress, well, House of Representatives from your states, all mm-hmm. of our states.
Right.
So do you want to listen to the 100, or do you want to listen to the 430 who had town hall meetings and listened to you and emailed mm-hmm. and communicated and that type of thing?
Right.
And then finally, it goes from the 430 or all the, you know, 1 per 604,000 people in your states, which is a lot of us. And then it goes to the 2 per state, which is the Senate. And now it goes to the executive branch. It goes to the president, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1. One. And it's so it's supposed to go in that direction because right. by the time it gets to the president, this was the original intent of George Washington. If by the time it gets to the president, it's the heart of the people because there's a government by the people and for the people. Now, if it goes from the 1 to the 2, to the 1 per 604,000, the representatives, that's called a dictator. That's called a king.
Yeah.
That's king, and this is just my cabinet, and we're actually, this is my parliament, and we're just kind of issuing out the orders and all. But when you think about this, when you read the Declaration of Independence, read it, 1776, they're declared their independence from that kind of concept and that kind of government. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence says, we declare these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they begin to list about all their different reasons why they're breaking away from this tyranny-type form of government. And the next thing they do after writing that, okay, we're declaring our independence from you, mm-hmm. they wrote this book in 1770s, began to teach the children the ways of God, right?
Right.
In English and writing and all that. Then they wrote the Constitution, what, in 1787. It took a while to put it together. I mean, yeah. they actually first had to declare their independence. And then, but this is the beginning of the very beginning of their writings. This is called the preamble to the Constitution. And it's very important because they're trying to figure out, you know, what's happening? What's happening? Why is it shut down? And why is this on lockdown because of one woman driven by darkness mm-hmm. with a baby in the back seat? Why are they, it's craziness, but not if you understand what's happening here. It says, we the people, this is the preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, boy, we're doing that now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Provide for the common defense, which is of America, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our children, our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. In other words, we want to be able to have a free nation, not just for us, but we want to live it in a way that our children and our children's children have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about. So the very first article to the Constitution, the very first one, the very first thing they write, they don't write the president in, they don't write the Senate in, they write the House of Representatives in. Because they're coming against tyranny. They're coming against dictators. They're coming against, listen, this is one nation under God. And it's a government by the people and for the people. And so they wrote in Congress, is the section one, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And section two is, it talks about the establishment of the House of Representatives.
Hmm.
And then in section three, Mr. Reed, that's when you're talked about. That's when the Senate is established. And in section, in article three, article three of the Constitution. Think about it, article three now. We're already down to three. That's when the judicial branch is put in. And in article, let me get this right. In article two is when the president's put in. So first you have Congress, and in the Congress you have the House was talked about first in section one. The Senate was talked about second. In Article 2, you talked about the president. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's in the context of our form of government, it's a government by the people and for the people. So we have to listen to their representatives because it's actually by them. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to read the bill before you pass the bill because you're representing the people.
Right.
That's why how crazy that is. And so in the context of that, this is important. You're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with our nation. The Constitution means this. For example, when you look at your body, if you go to an operation, for example, or somebody donates their body for medical reasons, and so they've passed, but they're given the body so doctors can learn, and they look at the body, all the parts of the body, and what the body's made up of. Here's skin. Here's a brain. Here's eyes. Here's mm-hmm. heart. Here's lungs. And doctors learn how to work on bodies. And so what they're doing is they're studying the constitution of human beings, the human body, because that's what it's made up of. Mm-hmm. Without that, there is no human, right?
Right.
So then they study the constitution of the human body is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it means what you're made up of, right?
Yeah.
In regards to your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so when you talk about the Constitution of the United States, that's our body. That's what we're made up of. So to remove any part of our body is for the whole thing to be thrown out. To remove the heart, to remove the lungs, to remove the brain. The word constitution doesn't mean some thesis. It's what we're made up of. That's why it's so important. That's why police officers just can't stop you on the middle of the road and just start doing something to you outside your constitutional rights. It's the constitution that restrains them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the constitution that says that this police officer has to take you before a jury of your peers. You know, it's the Constitution that does that. Don't let them remove this thing. But the very first article in the Constitution talks about Congress, and the second one talks about president. And it makes sense when you understand, because Congress represents you, and not only in the order of Congress, it's the representatives first and then Senate second, because there's only two folks from your state that represents your Senate, but there's one for every 604,000, which is more of the population. They have town hall meetings to talk to them. You can cover those folks. So then what happens? How do they secure this when they wrote this? This is what they did to make sure that this thing didn't turn around. Because when you look, if the president was to die in office, he got sick or had a heart attack like presidents have in the past, and they have their own doctor, then the vice president, that's why you have a vice president. So he can actually take over, or she can take over from the president, because that's kind of the one they picked. That's their second person in charge that could pick. But let me tell you who the third person is. The third person's not the head of Senate. Let me tell you who the president of the Senate is. The president of the Senate is the vice president. So it's not, he is the one over the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it is. He's the one that makes the deciding vote in the Senate.
Uh-huh.
So who would be the third person in charge if for whatever reason that we lost our president and vice president? It would be the Speaker of the House, the president of the Senate. I mean, the president of the Congress, excuse me, the president of the Congress. Why? Because they represent you. That is the biggest, most accurate pick in such terrible circumstances of who will be the next one in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. So by not paying attention to the third person in potential command of your nation and just saying, I'm going to go around this person who you picked that represents you, is to go around you.
Right.
So what did they put in the Constitution to assure that this order would not be changed? What did they put in the Constitution to make sure that all of a sudden we didn't end up in tyranny again, that we didn't end up under a king again, that all of a sudden had a parliament that he would just close down for whatever period of time because they wouldn't listen to him?
Mm-hmm.
What did they issue to make sure that it stayed in the representatives first, Senate second, executive branch third, and the third article, which is, it talks about, in the third article about the judicial branch, that it gives them an inferior court. And if they have good behavior, they can stay there.
Right.
It was not a permanent appointment. It had the weakest form of government, even though they have equal powers. And so this is what they did was, And you understand why now, because they represent you. There's more of them from your state than anybody else, and they're talking to you. That's why you got to talk to them. Because if you don't talk to them, the senator's going to talk to them, and the president and his cabinet's going to talk to them, and all these people who are trying to promote their ideas and concepts, can't think of their names right now, they come in there and they just kind of tell them their agendas and all. You say to your congresswoman, congressman, you represent us. And they do. That's what they want to do. But if you're not saying nothing, they got to come up with their, you know, their own leadership in the context of that. And this is what they did. And this is why the government is shut down. This is what they did. No matter what happens with Article 2, no matter what happens with Article 3, no matter what happens in the executive branch or the judiciary branch, and no matter what happens in Senate, because they don't really represent you well in regards to numbers, everything gets funded. The money comes from the House of Representatives. So you can make all the laws you want to and push them on the people. But they say, well, I'm sorry, the people we're talking to don't want this health care plan.
Yeah.
They don't want it because they don't want it. It's not because they don't want people to be healthy and we got to figure this thing out. You're destroying our country. It's more than we can pay. We're already $17 trillion in debt. And this is what they're hearing. The representatives are hearing this.
Yeah.
And so what the representatives just did, and you heard Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas do, he said, listen, the people overwhelmingly from the House of Representatives and what we're hearing, they don't want this. And so we cannot go against the will of the people. So we will actually pass everything that you have. We will okay the entire budget. We will fund you. We will give you all the money you want for everything that you want. We're just not going to fund what the people don't want funded, which is the health care.
Right.
That's what's being said right now. So now when all of a sudden you see the last tactic of children of Alinsky going, you know, they're picking a target, they're freezing it, they're personalizing it, they're polarizing it. You know what they're doing? They're picking you as the people of America. They're targeting you. They're freezing you. They're personalizing you and they're polarizing you because that is your representative. And you told them, don't fund this thing. And they're doing it. And you need to back them up because you sent them there not to fund them. And if they had cut the whole budget and they gave money for everything else, then they are actually trying to be kings. Kings. Unconstitutional. And guess what? They're blowing out of the water what we're made up of, the U.S. Constitution.
Wow.
That is the original intent. That's why the government's shut down right now, because it's working the way it's supposed to work. Everything's funded. Everything's funded. Except for the one thing the people of America overwhelmingly said, we just can't fund this. We don't have the money to fund this thing. I truly believe if you listen to this, you're going to understand what's going on. And when things are working right, those that are actually want bad things for our country are going to tell you they're working wrong. So you need to find out what does the Constitution say, you know, what we're made up of. And it just really makes sense, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
They're actually doing their job. They're doing the job. And when they said they wanted to fund everything, that means everything that you need right now, they wanted to fund except for the one thing the American people said they didn't want to fund. So they actually provided everything for everybody. While the Senate, a few folks, not many from your state too, are saying, we reject everything. We're going to shut down the government. And then the president rejects everything and says, shuts down the government. And then they actually polarize and target the Congress.
Right,
they're
blame
the ones
them
that did
for
it.
It. Yeah.
But they're the ones that kept it going.
Yeah.
They opened it up.
Crazy.
So just don't believe everything that you hear. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety
at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.